The ability to speak with confidence and present for impact is easily the most valuable skill you can have in today's world. When you can share your knowledge, you can facilitate change, and when you can facilitate change, well, you can change the world one conversation at a time. But most people think they can't speak articulately, confidently, or with impact. They get choked up by nerves, they lose their words, or that dreaded imposter syndrome shuts them down. Well, I'm happy to say that speaking is a skill that anyone can learn. Yes, even you. And that's exactly what this podcast is all about. My name is Kat Mattson, and welcome to Speaking with Confidence. Well, hello. Welcome to another episode of Speaking with Confidence with Kat Mattson. That would be me, and it's lovely to have you here. How's your day going today? I hope you're having a really fabulous one, doing whatever it is that you're doing. And, you know, if you happen to be in a position where you're listening or watching right now and you can type, head over to Speaking with Confidence with Kat Mattson on Facebook and let me know what you're doing while you're listening. Because most people I know, well, there's a song there. Most people I know are listening while they're doing something else. That's one of the joys of podcasting, right? So I'm always curious to know, where am I being taken? What are we doing? Are we on the beach? Are we traveling around Europe on a train? Are we at the gym? Are we picking up the kids? What are we doing? Let me know. Just head over to the Speaking with Confidence Facebook group. Speaking of letting me know things, I want to say thank you to the people who have been leaving beautiful comments on Spotify. If you're a listener on Spotify, Spotify has recently opened up the opportunity to leave comments and, of course, ratings on podcast episodes. And Anne Christine has left a couple of really lovely comments on the episodes recently. Now, apart from the fact that it's really lovely to get feedback on such a one-way communication forum, it helps get the podcast into the ears of other people who might want to make a greater impact in their world. So if you are listening on Spotify, rate, follow, leave a comment. If you're listening elsewhere, do the same thing on that platform. I know sometimes it's not always the easiest thing to do. Or just pass it on to someone. Literally just do a social media post and say, hey, I've been listening to this and it's really cool and perhaps you'd like it. That would rock my world. Thank you. Now, today's episode. Today I'm chatting with Liz Fleming from the Grants Club. And the reason I've brought Liz in, I know it's an unusual one for a Speaking with Confidence podcast, but I know that my audience are small business owners and community leaders who want to make a bigger impact. And grant funding, free money from the government, is often a really powerful way of increasing your impact. And the other thing about grant programs is that once you know the secrets of applying, you can keep applying and getting free money. Yeah, hands up who'd like some free money for their business or their community organization. I know I would. So that's why I invited Liz in today to chat about that. While you're listening, the same logic can also be applied to award applications. Now, awards might not necessarily give you free money, but they give you some fantastic free PR. So as you're listening to this chat between Liz and I, listen out for her tips around being strategic in your messaging, about putting in your application even if you think you might not get it, and how to become grant ready. So settle in, enjoy the conversation with Liz Fleming, and I'll see you at the end. Liz, thank you so much for joining me for the Speaking with Confidence podcast. Welcome.
Thanks, Kat. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I'm excited to have you here. And I mean, I know that people listening will be thinking, why on earth is Kat talking about grants? But we're about to demonstrate why grants are so important and how they are such an important part of the entire storytelling, speaking and confidence piece. But before we get into that, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? What do you do and why do you do it?
Cool. So I'm Liz Fleming. I have the Grants Club and the Efficiency Coach, and I help businesses to work out strategically what they need to do to utilise the business grants that are out there in Australia so that they can grow their businesses and do some different stuff, but also link in the whole funding, you know, proposals and where can we get funding from? And that can come in a whole lot of different sources that we just don't think about. I think when we start a business, we think, oh, we've got to use our own money and all that kind of stuff. And yes, we absolutely do, but there's also other options out there. So I really just open people's eyes to different opportunities and also creating opportunities along the way as well.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about that then. You know, like set the context for where does grant funding sit in the business and I guess in the community group funding ecosystem? Because I know a lot of business owners that I talk to, they go, oh, it's just too hard. It's not worth my energy.
Absolutely. And I hear that all the time. And I sometimes don't disagree as well. So basically the grants are coming from the three levels of government, federal, your state government and your local councils predominantly. There are other grant providers out there. But basically they are outsourcing projects and deliverables to achieve outcomes to businesses and community groups rather than just, you know, giving the money out willy-nilly. But I do hear that a lot where people say, oh, I don't have the energy or it's too hard. And I think what that comes down to is they don't have a good understanding of what is required, how to be efficient with applying for grants and knowing which ones are going to be on point for your organisation. So yes, we are talking about businesses as well as community groups, not-for-profits or sporting clubs. My remit is across all of those because as far as I'm concerned, the process is the same. The storytelling's the same. It doesn't matter what your organisation is. Your information will just be different. So I'm quite passionate about educating people in terms of what is required, how they can learn to make it easy, but also becoming grants ready, because we can't just decide, you know, we see a grant come out, it closes in 4 weeks. Oh, what are we going to do? You know, and that's what happens. Or they apply for grants unprepared, they don't do a good job, they don't get successful, so they don't get the money, and then they just go, oh, that was a waste of time and never do it again. So that's what I'm all about in terms of understanding people's businesses and organisations to maximise that business growth and to get that money in your bank account.
I love that. Now, you said something very interesting that I want to pull out and talk about a bit more. You said the three levels of government use grants to outsource their strategic objectives. What do you mean?
So basically they know that they're going to be inefficient in terms of trying to create impact in the community, trying, you know, stimulate the economy. That's ultimately what those grants are for. It's taxpayers' money redistributed for a greater cause. So they have a competitive process to get organisations to showcase your project, whatever that might be, and we'll talk about that later, so that you can have a little bit of a boost or a bonus to try something a little bit different, do something that's massively needed in the community, and you just need that helping hand to get it done. So that's the way I like to see it from a government point of view, and I have done a couple of years in government, managing grant programs amongst corporate services, and that just opened my eyes to all these grants. They don't really advertise them. They don't do a good job of that. And they also don't go and approach anybody and say, hey, we've got this grant program. Why don't you apply? So we as, whether we're in a business or community, we have to be really proactive and know where to be looking. And then as I keep talking about is being ready with your wish list of what do we need money for?
Yeah.
And so how are we going to get it and how much does it cost?
So let's unpack that a little bit. How does a business or a community group who is impact-minded, who wants to create a bigger impact in their local community, how do they get grant ready? What are the elements that they need to have in their back pocket? So then when they do see that there's something and applications close in a couple of weeks, that they can apply.
So in terms of grant ready, it's knowing your business, knowing what is going to grow your business. So is it hiring a new staff member? Is it buying a piece of equipment that's going to double your production or increase some efficiencies? Is it to put a new shed on? There's been some energy efficiency grants lately as well. So, you know, I don't want to say that there's a grant for everything because there's not, but there's a whole lot of ideas and plans that can be executed with the help of grant funding. So I encourage people to think about what's your strategy, what is in your growth plan. And I have so many people come to me and say, Liz, you're the grants lady, I want a grant. And the first question I will ask is, well, what are you going to spend it on? I'm actually a chartered accountant, so I think the grants fits nicely with the financials, and nobody goes into business to understand numbers. I totally get that. But that will be my first question of, what do you need money for? What are we going to spend it on? And how much is it going to cost? Mm. I've seen time and time again where people are wanting to upgrade facilities and it's going to cost $500,000. They come to me and say, oh, we want to apply for this $10,000 grant. And I'm like, where are we going to get the rest of the money from? Why would we bother with that $10,000? Because it's not going to get the rest of the project across the line or a whole lot of fundraising or whatever it might be. So being able to know what you want to spend your money on in the future for your growth plans and your greater impact, knowing how much it costs. And what I mean by that is going out and planning that project, going and chatting with the suppliers, go and see a builder and say, these are our plans, how much is it going to cost? Ask for a quote. Because on the flip side, I've seen businesses and community organizations where they've thought something might have cost $50,000 and they're like, no, that's way out of reach, there's no way. They've gone and got a quote from a local supplier and it's about $4,000 for what mm-hmm. they want to do. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden they're like, oh, we have that money. Or we've got nearly that money. And that $4,000 purchase is going to have a huge impact on their business. So, or their community, whatever. It doesn't matter what organization you are. And so I always say to people, if I never have to write a grant application again, I'll be happy as long as you go and execute your growth plans because you understand the funding options that are out there and treating grants as a bonus because we don't want to be relying on them. We don't know when they come out. Just because they came out last year doesn't mean they're going to come out this year at exactly the same time with exactly the same objectives and criteria. So we need to be agile in our plans, but we also need to have a plan to begin with.
Tell me about aligning those plans then with the government's strategic objectives that they're trying to outsource. Because, you know, as somebody who has also worked in government and has run grant programs, I wasn't in the business of funding people's sheds.
No,
but I was in the business of community activities that would stimulate economic growth. Or I was Correct. In the business of facilitating programs that would bring people together to educate for community resilience. So how do we meaningfully align our growth plans with the government's strategic objectives?
Great question. And this is where we've got to get creative. And I totally agree with you where a government's not going to fund a shed, but they're going to fund a shed if it's for the footy club to have a full suite of change rooms and a canteen that can generate income that can mean spectators covered from the rain and things like that. So what I always encourage people to think about is, what is it we want? Is it the shed? Is it staff? Then why do we want it? Is it for efficiencies? Is it to be able to run a new program? What impact are we having? And then, as you say, going to the council plan, looking at what state priorities are and being able to pick out the objectives and go, well, that is where we're aiming for. And even for your own strategic objectives of, what is our business or organisation all about? You know, yes, we're a footy club or we're a yoga retreat or whatever it might be, but actually, you know, thinking outside the square, and that's what I work with my clients around. Just because we've got a yoga retreat facility or we do yoga classes, that doesn't mean to say that we're not going to be able to get a grant. Who can we partner with in the community to run more sessions, more workshops to align with the council or state government's objectives of social inclusion or mental health and wellbeing or bringing communities together or getting more women to participate? So that's the next level of one. Once you've identified what you want to purchase, because let's get real, if we haven't got something to purchase, we probably don't need a grant. And then we can align it with, what are the government's priorities? What are the council's priorities? What are federal government? So at the moment, there was a grant last month around energy efficiency,
mm-hmm.
and that had a massive list of eligible expenditure where you could upgrade your aircon systems, you could upgrade your commercial kitchen. It was quite a wide covering grant program, which was great, that I had multiple clients apply for, but you know, that was just an example of, that was probably quite a one-on-one easy alignment, but we do need to get creative around who can we partner with Same with if you are a not-for-profit versus a for-profit business. Some programs exclude for-profit businesses to apply, but you might be thinking, well, actually, I can do that, so how can we get in there? That's when we need to partner with not-for-profits as well. So in terms of being grants ready, it's knowing what you might want to spend your money on.
Yep.
If you were to be successful, who else can you partner with to have that greater impact? And go and talk to the people that are actually potentially going to benefit from your project, because you might also be sitting there going, oh, well, I'd love to do this program, and you haven't talked to anyone. And, you know, the other thing is it's really hard to demonstrate in a grant application, I've got this idea, I think it's going to be great, but I haven't done anything. Whereas if you have run a pilot program, or you've purchased one piece of equipment but now you need the next upgrade, you've demonstrated that, one, you've spent your own money and you've invested in this yourself because you believe in it, then yep. The governments are going to look more fondly towards your project when it comes to the grant programs being released. So that is where the tricky thing is, but I also encourage people to be starting to think about, if you don't already have a growth plan, a strategy plan, that's your starting point. What are your top five purchases in the next 10, 15 months, two years that you can be looking for? And also targeting, well, if we get extra revenue, what can we put some of that money towards as well?
That's awesome. I love that guidance. So let's now look to the whole storytelling piece of, you know, this is a Speaking with Confidence podcast. We're often talking about obviously both confidence, but also speaking. Some grant programs do have a pitch, like you have to stand and pitch, yes, which yep. is not that comfortable for most people. But before you even get in there to pitch, you actually have to pitch yourself and your business in the application form, which is often also very unfriendly. You don't get to attach a whole lot of perfectly formatted documents. It's in an awkward text field box, etc. What are your tips for storytelling to progress to the next stage of the grants process?
So as you say, the grant application form is normally an awful looking portal with no formatting. It's just words with word limits too. And it seems like a whole lot of rules and a whole lot of form filling, and it is. But that is the only opportunity you get to showcase your business or organization and your project. So my biggest advice is to make sure you answer the question. And if it says, what is your project going to achieve? We start that response with, this project is going to achieve XYZ by purchasing XYZ. Then, so start with the facts, then you can turn it into your storytelling. I had a client just the other day who's in film, and she was like, you can tell her that a government person's written these questions because she couldn't even sort of decipher what they were asking. So to a logical person, they were very straightforward, but to a creative person, she was like, what am I even writing? And I said to her, write the facts first, answer the question, and then launch into your creative storytelling in terms of, how can you showcase your project, your organization, to the people reading it? Remembering that a person is reading it. I don't think we're at the point where AI is going to be reading these responses. So a person is reading it, yes, on a computer screen, yes, the same font as all the other 50 applications that they've just looked at. But you need to write in a positive storytelling, emotional as much as you can, to be like, we are the best project, we're going to have the best impact, we're confident, you know, in our ability to deliver this project, and we're confident that our proposed project aligns with the objectives and the outcomes that this grant program is trying to achieve. So again, answering what they want to hear, but also showcasing your unique project and how you've interpreted their grant program offering. So if we can't tell that story, no one else is going to tell it for us. And as you say, some grant programs allow you to pitch as the second or third phase. A lot don't.
Mm-mm.
So I know that we're talking about speaking, but just like we would write our draft of our webinars and our speaking gigs, we need to be emotive in the language that we're using for the written form so that the person reading it can hear our passion, hear our drive, and also really showcase what you've done in the past to show success and why they should support you. It does become a bit of a partnership, And it's also a competitive process. So it's a blind audition, really, because you don't know who else has applied. You don't even know who's reading it.
And
so
I think,
when you're telling your story, also make sure you don't assume anything. Be really blunt about, this is who I am, this is what my project is, this is what it's going to do. So there's no assumptions needing to be made from either party.
There's so many pieces in that that I want to pull apart. As somebody who has reviewed well more than my fair share of grant applications, and the thought now kind of goes, oh, geez, don't make me do that. There's a few things that I really want to call out and clarify. First, the people who are reading your grant applications have read 40, 50, 100, sometimes 200, all in the same awkward level that you've inputted it in. Like the grant, those grant platforms, if it was awkward to put your answers into, trust me, it's really awkward for us to read them. So it's all just this great big blobs of text and everyone's saying the same old stuff. I'm the best, we're the best, blah, 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 blah. So the responses that stand out are the ones where when you're the 199th response that I'm reading, you overtly call out, how are you going to make me look good? How are you going to deliver on this particular grant program? How is this going to play out in the media? What is the press release going to look like? What is the ribbon cutting opportunity going to look like? And I know that can sound really cynical, but one of the things that we talk about a lot in the Impactful Presenters program is when you're designing your presentation, you want to begin with the end in mind. And that very much requires that you ask yourself, what does my audience need right now? Not what am I trying to give them, what does my audience need right now? So your audience needs to be able to justify, why are we giving this group of people $10,000 free money? Why are we giving it to them? Why? So it needs to be really clear. The other thing that I want to call out too is that that recognition of your client, your creative client, going, what does that even mean? Government people who are writing the grant applications, we have to justify the competitive process. So it actually needs to be as, one, it's gone through legal, which has stripped out a lot of the juice. But two, it needs to be as vanilla and as logical and rational as possible, because 200 people are going to apply and everybody needs to be able to interpret it pretty much in the same way. So
absolutely,
you've got to meet those requirements, even if you're going, what does that even mean?
That particular client, I had reviewed her application and the feedback I'd given to her was that she'd focused too much on her and not enough on her audience or the greater impact rather than her just doing this one project. And the other way to think of it as well is, they want bang for buck. They want value for money. So if they're going to give you $10,000 and it only impacts one person or just you, forget it. So you've got to think about, what's that wider picture of community, other businesses, partnerships, staff, a cohort. It doesn't matter who it is, but the wider, without being too vanilla and going, oh, it's going to impact the entire town. Well, let's get real. But it's going to impact realistically more people than just yourself. And being able to showcase that in your story is really, really important. And thinking about your flow-on effect. So if this project was not to happen, none of this will occur. If this project goes ahead, these are the possible flow-on effects after our project even happening.
That is gold. And again, making those benefits overt. I know a lot of people go or say to me afterwards, oh, but yeah, that's exactly what the project's going to do. Didn't you understand that? I was like, no, I've just read 250 applications. I wasn't taking, like, and it needs to be overt. You need to be, you don't know who's reading it. And oftentimes the people who are reading those applications aren't expert in what you do. In fact, that's very much why the grant program has been put out. As you say, we're outsourcing the strategic objectives of government.
Absolutely. And I often say to my clients, they don't know anything about you, your business, your organization, or your project. So, you know, when you're writing your grant application, if the last thing you do before you submit it is get someone outside of yourself to read it, to go, can you please talk back to me what I mean or what I'm saying. And if they don't get the gist of it in a half an hour read or 5 minute read, then you need to go back and rewrite it, because there's no way that a panelist is going to be able to decipher that if your 150th application that they are reading. Don't give them any reason to say no. That's the making sure that you're attaching all the right documents, you've answered all the questions, don't leave anything blank, don't write too many words, all of those things. Do not give them a reason to say no from the beginning.
Yep, couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. So how do our listeners find grant applications? Like, you know, I look at grants as both free money for the business, but it's also an opportunity to create greater impact at scale. And when you're in the flow of finding good grant opportunities, and then you get in the flow of applying for them, and it just kind of adds in, then they're not overwhelming. So how do we find grant opportunities?
Correct. And just on that, your first grant is always the hardest, because then we can use that application response as your blueprint for the next application, and you're creating a resource as you go through it. In terms of finding grants, knowing what council area you're in is the first step, either because a lot of people don't, you know, if they're not a ratepayer, or if their business is in a different area to where they live, they're not necessarily across what council area they are in, or what regional, you know, cohort they're in. So knowing them, signing up to the business or community newsletter from your council, because that's where they'll advertise. They'll put it out once and go, oh yeah, here's a grant program, here's the date it closes, here's the link to it. And if you're not reading them, you won't find out about them. Again, with state government, we know what state we're in, hopefully. Sign up to their grant alerts as well, and they will send them out weekly. And same with federal, you know, linking up with Business Australia and linking in to their newsletter. So they're the three levels of the three levels of government funding. Then there's also directories such as the Grants Hub, where I think it's about a couple of $100 a year. You can search all you like. The thing is with that, though, they have 2,000 grants listed on there at any one time. There are currently 2,000 grants available across Australia, across all states, across business and community. So then you have to be able to decipher and sort through the ones, and what criteria and eligibility are you looking for in terms of your objectives. So, you know, this is why I do what I do. I help people to find the grants, but I also can steer them into the areas that we think we might have some opportunities. Otherwise, that grant searching just becomes really overwhelming. The other thing I'd also encourage people to do is talk to other business owners. So when people have applied for grants, you know, they might not tell you when it's, you know, right there and then because they're competitive. But, you know, I'm all about sharing information. But asking other business owners, well, how did you do that project? Did you get a grant? And then finding out how they found out about it and contacting the right departments, or just being in the right space. Because I guarantee you, once you start thinking about grants for your business and start thinking about what do we need it for, what's our growth plan, what could we purchase, whether that's for your business or your sports club, you will start hearing about grants. You'll start looking for them. Even if you search in Google business grants and in the area that you live in or the state that you live in, and just go through some of those websites, and even look at some of the past recipients as well, so you can be like, oh, they're a bit like me, or what did they do? So familiarising yourself with those opportunities, and investing that time and sometimes money into being searching for grants. It is a long game.
Yep.
Just because we find a grant and we make an application doesn't mean that we're necessarily going to be successful, because as we've been saying, we don't know who's doing the assessments. We don't even know who else is applying. Sometimes we don't even know what the total pool of money is. So it might be a $10,000 grant. There might only be five available, you know, so we just don't know. So, but as I always say, you've got to be in it to win it. If you don't make that application, we're absolutely not going to get that money in our bank account. So investing in the future.
And I think it's also worth noting that oftentimes people won't apply because they think there's too limited a pool. There have been so many times when I've been administering a grant program and we haven't had enough applications. Like, we've had to keep going back out to market and saying, there's still money left, there's still money left, there's still money left. And it's really easy. Government, and it's worth noting, government promotion, marketing and comms teams are often really constrained about how many times they can put out a message. So, you know, I'm always saying to people, sign up to all of the newsletters from your local council, not just the one, because it's very rare that there's only one. Reach out to the community development team, reach out to the economic development team. Same with state. Like, there will be multiple email newsletters that will have different grants programs.
Absolutely.
And network with your local council events as well and your local chambers of commerce, because they're often the distribution networks that those organizations
use. Absolutely. And if you're not involved in those, definitely get in touch with them. And I think to your point around where there's been undersubscribed grant programs, lately there's been a lot of oversubscribed programs, and the government's actually gone to sometimes a ballot system.
Yep.
And again, people are like, oh, I don't want to apply. Well, again, you've got to be in to win it. And we don't even know how many's going to be successful for the ballot. And then also making sure, I've heard this time and time again, where there are people saying, oh, no, but I'm not really worthy of it. There's more people that need it more than me. And my mantra is, if you meet the eligibility from an organisation point of view and from a project point of view, you need to seriously consider doing an application. And obviously there's reasons why you might not decide to proceed with your application, but at least consider it in the first place.
Yep.
If you've got 2 or 3 weeks before it closes, any less than that, you're probably stressing yourself out. Whether you're doing it yourself or with a grant writer. But beyond that, you know, we need to be really pushing ourselves to go, well, I've got a really good shot of this if I've got a good project and I believe in that project, or you've already had a bit of a go and now, as you said, you want to scale, do it in a different area, add some more components in to have that greater impact. So there's some things that I hear quite regularly, and it just sort of irks me that I'm like, no, come on, we've got to go. Like, we've got to have a shot at this.
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. Liz, as we wrap up this particular episode, can you leave our listeners with your top tip for, I'm going to set you up a little bit here, with your top tip for storytelling and speaking so that you are in your best spot, if you like, for applying for grants when they come around?
So I think knowing what your story is, knowing what your why and what impact you want to have, but then being able to link it back to, what does that look like in your business? What do we need to buy? What do we need the money for? So we can say we want to do workshops and we want to do that, but what do we need the money for? And so linking it back to having a really compelling story of why, and then linking it back to the financial component of, this is why we need money from the grant.
Liz, if our listeners want your help with applying for their next grant, how can they find you?
So you can head to my website, grantsclub.com.au, or I'm on Instagram and Facebook, grantsclub_LizFleming, or send me an email at liz@grantsclub.com.au. So as my colleague says, I can talk about grants all day, and I do really love helping people understand their potential and opportunity in this space.
Awesome source. We will put all of those links in the show notes, but head over to thegrantsclub.com.au for more information. Liz, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Kat. It's been amazing.
Can you tell Liz is pretty passionate and excited about grants and helping her clients find more grant opportunities? As I've said in that interview, her links are in the show notes wherever you're listening to this podcast. So head over to grantsclub.com.au or follow her on Instagram for more information. Now, I want to particularly highlight this notion of being consistent with your story and aligning your business, or understanding where your business might align with the strategic objectives of the government of the day. You'd be surprised how easy it is. Because if you're a business, or if you're a community organization, if you're an impact-minded leader, you're trying to do good in the world. And guess what? Government programs are also trying to do good in the world. And so you will find that when you think through your business outcomes, you will be aligned to many of the grant programs. So Stay abreast of what's happening in your local area, ask around, and ensure that you're grant ready. And in terms of that consistent storytelling, every time you're networking, be talking about your greater purpose. Be talking about what your business or what your community group exists for. Because when you're doing that, when your application does show up, people go, oh yeah, we know of this business. Or your network, the people who know you, will say, hey, there's a grant program that's just come up that would be perfect for you. So I hope you enjoyed that slightly different conversation today for the podcast. Coming up in the podcast over coming weeks, you're going to hear more conversations along these lines around how to make impact at a bigger scale, how to increase your confidence so you can speak with greater confidence, and ultimately, how do you make your dent in the universe? How do you show up, take up more space? How do you play a bigger game, and how do you make a bigger impact? So stay tuned. I've got some really juicy conversations coming up for you. In the meantime, as always, you can head over to the Speaking with Confidence Facebook group to ask me questions, make comments on this particular episode, or you know what? You can even ask me for free coaching in that Facebook group. So head over to Speaking with Confidence with Kat Mattson on Facebook. And very soon I'll be opening up the doors again to the Impactful Presenters program. And if you're not already on my list to get those updates, you want to head to impactfulpresenters.com and download my How to Stop Rambling ebook. When you do that, you'll be added to my speaker's notes newsletter list and you'll get weekly updates of all of the cool stuff that's going on in my world. I hope you have an awesome, awesome, awesome rest of your day doing whatever it is that you're doing. And until I see you again, here's to confidence and here's to impact. I'll see you next time.